want to congratulate Donald Trump on his victory tonight. He earned it, and I want to acknowledge that. Now, you've all heard the chatter among the political class. They're falling all over themselves, saying this race is over.
It's not over!
She paid him to say that. Girlfriend paid him, you know.
Well, I have news for all of them. New Hampshire is first in the nation. It is not the last in the nation. This race is far from over. There are dozens of states left to go.
Oh, boy, that means we're all going to get punished. Oh, yeah, so that was, there's more states to go. Yay. Yay. I just, okay, here's the question that I was asking last night on the plane, because I was on the plane. I had the sweetest Wi-Fi ever. I really felt like blessed, hashtag blessed, because I had the sweetest Wi-Fi in the history of the world. So I was like watching all this stuff, like real time, you know, me and my friends just like realizing stuff. And I was, the first question was, how high on Hunter's Coke are her donors to keep funding this? Because in the wise words of Ricky Bobby's daddy, if you ain't first, you last. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here, broadcasting live from Las Vegas. And we are in this, we're in a nice little room that Scott Hoganson, God love him. He's one of our VIPs. And we're here just right off the main floor. And we've got a big show. We're here. We always go to SHOT Show every year. SHOT Show is, just so you know, it's a huge gun convention, right? But it's more than just guns, because you preview all the stuff that you go in the gun store to buy. All the wheeling and dealing and the tastemaking is done here before you actually see it. And it's put on by what is known as the National Shooting Sports Foundation. Now, if you're not a total nerd, you may not know what that is. The NSSF for short. That is actually the lobby for the manufacturers. I always get accused of being that. And I'm like, I'm literally not a member of NSSF. So that is actually the lobbyist for the manufacturers. But everybody's here. And so it's a weird mix of like gun nerds. And then you get like Hollywood people that come out, and armorers and prop masters, because they are looking to put stuff in their next film. So we got a big show today. We're going to be recapping New Hampshire, what that means for South Carolina. Nikki Haley totally just like didn't even go to, is not even doing Nevada's like caucuses, which is, they have a dual system, which we're going to talk about. So we're going to hit that. We're also going to get into all of the other drama from last night, the drama while you slept, because it never ends. We got culture. Then we have, some guests today, including our friend Eric Pratt from Gun Owners of America, Larry Keene, who's like the head, and, you know, he's the SVP for, he's the big guy over at, NSSF, and our friend Taryn Butler, who is here in person. He's the guy who is basically the gun fu godfather. He trained Keanu Reeves, Halle Berry. He's trained James Cameron. He's trained, you name them. If you've seen really good gun work in a movie, it's Taryn. He did all the John Wick gun choreography, all of it. So he's going to be here too. We're going to chat with him. We got a lot. He's got a big thing coming out, so we're going to talk with him. So a lot of stuff to hit. But can we just go to the big, giant, fat establishment-y, that's a word now, elephant in the room, which is, why is she still running? Now, look, I said this yesterday, and I'm going to get into some of the stuff that I saw from the polling, because I was poring over the exits, and I was looking at the polls going in. She really overperformed in New Hampshire. Now, there's two ways to look at this. She says she's not leaving. She's staying in forever. And okay, that's great. You can do that. I mean, if you have donors who are stupid enough to do that, then that's, you know, fine. Go ahead. But in New Hampshire, she overperformed. Now, like I said, there's two ways you can look at it. You can say, and I agree with you to an extent, and I don't say this as a way, I need everyone out there to take a collective breath, because I have some friends who lost their mind when I said this last night. I need those people to pop a Midol and chill, right? Midol and chill. You've heard of Netflix and chill? Let me introduce you to Midol and chill. It's wonderful. Have some Chardonnay too. But you have to realize that if you want your candidate to be strong and you want to win in November, you have to identify these weak points and you have to shore them up. Acknowledging what we all know and what everyone thinks is verboten and no one can talk about is just absolutely bass-ackwards. People have got to stop. We have to shore up the weak points. And so I'm going to point to you a couple of weak points that I saw. So there's two ways, like I said, to look at this. The first is, yes, there is absolutely a kind of like an Operation Chaos part due that's in the works. But that only goes so far. In New Hampshire, it's not same-day registration like it was in Iowa. And Iowa and New Hampshire are vastly, vastly different Republicans. It's literally like saying a Los Angeles Republican and then comparing them to Luckenbach, Texas Republican. Okay, it's very different. And you guys get this. It's like taking a Mississippi Republican and comparing them to a Chicago Republican. Very different. A lot of New Hampshire Republicans are moderate. There are a lot of independents who sometimes vote Republican, but are independent. In Iowa, that's like, you know, your hardcore, your super enthusiastic base, right? New Hampshire, they're a little bit more chill than that. Not to say they don't have some of your base in there, but they're just way more chill. And they're independent and moderate. And we'll talk about that coming up. So that only goes so far. Operation Chaos only goes so far because you would have to go back and register a little bit earlier before you could actually go and participate in this primary as a Republican. It's a closed primary. You can't just show up same day and go in and cast your ballot. So that being said, it only goes so far. There is, and this is one of the weak points that I saw, what have I been telling you for the past week? Haley performs well with independents and moderates and people who would rather eat their hat than vote to win in 24, okay? Trump does very well with the base, but he struggles with independents and moderates. This was evident in Iowa. It was evident in New Hampshire last night. And I have data to prove it. Furthermore, there's also the data from 22, 2020, and 2018. So this is a problem that if you want to win, everybody has deficiencies. No candidate is God. And the last thing that you want to happen is for your political God to bleed coming up in November, and you could have prevented it. So that's what this is about. So the independents and moderates, yes, they tick everybody off. And you're like, how in the hell do you not know who you're voting for? My gosh, how far is up your butt is your head? I get it. But there's a reason why the phrase Reagan Democrat exists, guys. The phrase Reagan Democrat was created because a lot of people who were just disillusioned on the left and disaffected decided they were going to vote Republican. And this was after 76, when he lost the first primary. So they ended up voting for Reagan, and he kept them by and large for a long time. They were kind of the disaffected Kennedy Democrats that came over and supported Reagan. So there is such a phenomenon. We saw some of it happen in 2016. Do not discount its effect. It is real. Now, looking at some of the data for this, it was interesting because the groups, Trump performed very well with those who described themselves as very conservative, very Republican, those who are, you know, that's the red base. Haley performed well with the independents and moderates. Now, the vast majority of the people who came out to vote for Trump, and it was about three quarters of them, and this was in the final exit sweep, they were saying that they cast their vote for the candidate that they strongly favored, and there were only very few that said that they had reservations. They said that his hardcore base is not made up of people who are driven by dislike of his rivals. The people who were lukewarm on him, it was. And you have to take that, you got to remedy that because you got to keep those people on your side. 4 in 10 Haley voters, they attributed their support of her to, they hate her opponents. They just hate her opponents. And 3 in 10 were saying that they liked her with some reservations, and only like a third of them actually really favored her. So it's not that they like her, it's just that it's an alternative. And those people, I think that there's a silver lining there, because if they don't like her, okay, they're not bought into her brand. They're not bought into her personality so that they can be persuaded, right? So you had 7 in 10 of those who backed Trump were registered Republicans. Haley's backers were actually very similar, except a lot of them were very, very, and this was something that CNN had reported, newly registered Republicans. In fact, 70% of her voters were undeclared. They had not made a determination about a candidate, whereas Trump's had. So that was interesting. She was very competitive with him because of independence. And here's the other thing. Vivek Ramaswamy dropping out, he was netting about 8% of that vote, and that 8% went to Trump, and that helped put him up over Haley and kept him from being within 10 points. He ended up really widening the lead, but it would have been a lot closer had he not picked up Ramaswamy's support. And that is one thing that the math does prove. And so here's what I want. This is what I think is one of the most important things to think of when you're the real narrative here. Okay. The general electorate, and nobody wants to talk about this because they take it as a personal affront. Again, I say this as someone who will run over your dog to win in 2024. I will steamroll over your grandmother. I will run over your dog. I'll set your house on fire and whatever else Clint Eastwood says in Unforgiven, I'll do it. I want to win in 2024. You have to realize that the general electorate looks more like the disaffected voters who are Republican and kind of wishy-washy in New Hampshire than not. That means you got to do the work of persuading them. And you get more flies with honey and facts than you do with vinegar. So if the GOP wants to win in November, they have to figure out how in the world they're going to reconcile with these people. And yes, if you want to win, you got to do that. That is the cost of going into politics. You got to go out and kiss the babies and shake the hands of all of the people that, you know, you got to win them over when you think it should be obvious. Like you're like, I get it. Oh, my gosh. Like the future is at stake here. What's happening? Oh, my word. I get it. But that does wanting that not to be true doesn't make it so. Just like cutting off your willy doesn't make you a chick and you having a Frankengina, it doesn't make it real. OK, it's none of that's real. So this also wishing it away doesn't make it real. So we have to be based in science. So that's the real narrative. He won New Hampshire, but his victory was reduced with the hardcore, not by the hardcore voters, but because of those independents in that. Now you got to think about this. Now the other cool thing, and I didn't know this until last night, there was no candidate that's ever won both Iowa and New Hampshire and lost the primary nomination. That's obvious. And so this is the reality of the situation. Now, Nikki Haley staying in, I don't get it, man. I don't get it. She's like the house guest that won't leave. I have not liked her from the get-go. I had someone saying, oh, now you don't like Nikki. I'm like, are you high? Seriously, are you hitting that rock with Hunter too? Like, are you up there with his like sugar daddy or sorry, sugar bro? The guy who's like paying all his legal bills. Like, is that what you're doing? Because I've never liked her. I started getting disaffected towards her. I mean, while she was literally still governor, but you know, that's a whole other story. So this, it's just, you know, you gotta, I don't know how she's going to be able to stay in past South Carolina. I think she's going to stay into South Carolina, but she's going to be third. Trump picked up a lot of momentum because he kept that distance. If you're going to, you can't just come in second. You have to be a competitive second within striking distance and within margin of error. And she was not. The last I checked, what was it? She was like down like what, 13? I mean, that's not close enough. That is not close enough. If you ain't first, you're last. That's it. You got to be competitive. This is a delegate race, and she's not keeping up with that. And South Carolina, she was in third going into South Carolina. RDS was competitive with her there, and she's still being beat. Now it's just her and him. She's still being beat by a pretty big margin there. All of this stuff, you got to take all of this into consideration. You know, the one time when people don't get upset over mansplaining is when all these skincare companies started using dudes to try to sell women's skincare products. And then try to act like it was one and the same and women should just stop complaining about it because, you know, they know what's best. Women have different needs from dudes. And women even have different needs from other women, depending on what stage they are in their lives. Nimi Skincare understands that, and any skincare company should. This is why they were created. And so with Nimi Skincare, first off, this is a company that uses USA ingredients, made in the USA ingredients. They're made in the USA. No parabens, none of those horrible, ridiculous, harsh, artificial synthetic chemicals. And they don't test on animals either. But they are all about making sure that you have what you need to have healthy skin. So they have introduced two new routines, their Wake Up Right routine, where you can give your skin a morning boost of vitamin C and peptides. And then they have their bedtime moisturizing routine. This is great, especially when it's going to be like 7 degrees here in Texas, for example, because it's ultra hydrating. It's going to replenish your skin, keep you moisturized while you sleep, and it's packed with soothing, restorative ingredients. And your skin will thank you for this. And like I said, they share your values, but they also understand and celebrate that women are different and women need different things. Nimi Skincare products are 100% guaranteed. So take the guesswork out of your routine with Nimi Skincare. Visit NimiSkincare.com. That's NIMI Skincare.com and use promo code Dana for 10%. 10% off. Your skin will thank you.
Are we seeing the downfall of Marxism? You can believe BlackRock and put your money into DEI and ESG, but the free market will eventually win out every time. As they gain power to implement societal change, you're starting to see it fail. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if this is real or not. It's the Nikki Haley Manna thing, so I'm just going to put this on your stovetop just because I don't know if it's real. But yeah, okay, so she, it looks like it's a press release from her camp, and it says, Make America Normal Again. So I don't, we're just, like I said, I'm going to come back to it and find out if it's real or not. Because we're going to have so much fun with that, if so, just saying. All right, so moving on from that, I had to put that out in your... Actually, I lost my stuff. Kane, I lost all my stuff. I don't know where it's at. I can't find it. Give me... I'm looking at a tiny little screen. I don't have my big, giant screen in front of me. Okay, here we go. Here we go. All right, I apologize. First up for our headlines, LA Times. I know you guys are so sad about this. I'll give you a second to grab some tissues. The LA Times is laying off 115 people in their newsroom. Now, we're supposed to feel very, very sorry for the journalist who, there are millions of screenshots. They tweeted things about quarantining the unvaccinated, like the Vague suggested, or things like let people suffer without health care in hospitals if they were unvaccinated, or saying that maybe some of them should die. I mean, there's like their journals have like tweeted all this stuff and the internet never forgets. So I would suggest that maybe perhaps they should learn to code, but that seems too generous. And I'm not in a generous giving mood right now, but I'm in a good mood. Turkey lawmakers, they're signing off on Sweden entering into NATO. That jumps over a key hurdle. That was like one of the big things that Turkey was always protesting against. So we'll see what becomes of it. The Earth is set for two solar storms today, and they have a 75% chance of causing radio blackouts. Two, not one, but two solar storms. And apparently another plane, a Delta Boeing plane, lost its wheel while taxiing for takeoff. They're also mass. Yeah, that happened. Oh, I still have to tell you guys about my mic stand in TSA. We'll talk about that coming up. But yeah, they lost a wheel while taxiing for takeoff. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Larry Keane's coming up. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Because when someone needs to be told on the internet, use Patriot Mobile to do it. It adds injury to that insult because you're actually using a phone service that helps support the free market values, free speech, and free exercise of religion that you come to know of being rights here in the United States of America while we have them. And so right now you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider for, what, 10 years now? And they have an awesome 100% U.S.-based customer service team. In fact, I'm going to be talking to some of them. I'm going to be at their booth later for SHOT Show. I think it's at 3:30 later at SHOT Show. So if you're in Vegas, come and say hi. Keep your phone and your number or upgrade. The choice is yours. And when you switch, make sure, again, use code Dana for that free activation. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana. Get that free activation. Make the switch today. 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We are at the bottom of this very first hour, and we are broadcasting live from Las Vegas, beautiful Las Vegas. And we're here at SHOT Show. And this is, I don't even know how many SHOT Shows we've been to. It's the National Shooting Sports Foundation's annual event. It's huge. It's impressive. I think it takes like an hour to walk from one end to the other. I mean, probably not exaggerating. Joining us right now is Larry Keane. He's SVP for Government and Public Affairs. And he's one of the guys who helps make big decisions. And he's been here. He just told me he's been here since Saturday. And so now this is the calm after the storm for you, right?
Yeah, well, today's pretty busy, but it tapers off, but you know, a lot of industry meetings and stuff going on and just making sure the show gets set up properly. And so we come in on Saturday and we're here all week. So
for all of our listeners all across the country and for the people who are streaming the show, and then we have people who usually get the simulcast on DirecTV and that, one of the things I always like to explain, because people, they know, they heard it, they hear a SHOT Show, they don't exactly know what it is, and they hear of NSSF, but you are, you know, the entity that facilitates a relationship or tries to represent manufacturers in front of the government.
So NSSF is the Firearms Industry Trade Association. So our members are all the large ammunition, firearms manufacturers, even small ones, distributors, retailers, ranges, endemic media. So we have over 10,000 members, all industry members. We don't have individual members. Right. It's just for the industry. And so, you know, our job as the trade association is to represent the interests of our industry.
Which is needed right now.
Oh, yes. In Washington, at state capitals, you know, so, and with, you know, the federal bureaucracy, state bureaucracy. So right. We have our hands full. But the SHOT Show is owned by NSSF. It's an important part of what we do, and it helps to fund the government relations and political affairs stuff that's my portfolio.
And you have some brawls. That's what we were just talking about, because there are a number of cases coming up before the Supreme Court this year. We were just talking about the Mexico case as well. And I mean, there's so many things that we could get into, whether it's the banks, and whether it's, you know, the penalization of, you know, manufacturers with the trying to go after advertising. There's a lot on your plate. So what is the most concerning issue? Because I think all of them seem pretty terrifying, but what's the one that...
You know, it's tough to prioritize. And every time we try to prioritize things to work on, you know, the world changes.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of whack-a-mole. I was joking the other day, I'm going to hire some octopus because they've got more arms to play whack-a-mole with.
Yeah.
So, you know, right, you know, all of a sudden we're dealing with problems with BIS and the exports. And a new fight popped up the other day with an attempt by anti-gun Democrats, Democrat AGs, to choke off the supply of ammunition coming out of Lake City to the commercial market. So we're dealing with that on the Hill and with the Republican AGs to make sure that doesn't take place, which is actually would be very detrimental to military readiness. The ability, the commercial utilization of the Lake City arsenal is a DOD idea. It goes back to 2001, the ramp up of the Iraq and Afghanistan war. Half the machines in Lake City were mothballed. They didn't have enough staff. And so the DOD said that's never happening again. We want this plant operational, full capacity at all times. So to, and so to do that, we're going to allow you to have commercial utilization, but then a part of those sales are going to be plowed right back into the plant and equipment. So it's good for military readiness. And look at the world now. We're staring World War III in the face. And it, you know, they want to reduce military readiness now for real.
Yeah.
So that's a big fight now. Just the other day while we were here in Vegas, the First Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals reversed the dismissal of the government of Mexico's lawsuit against the industry, trying to blame us for the crimes committed in Mexico by cartels because of their, you know, the corrupt leadership of the Mexican government and their inability or unwillingness to crack down on the cartels and bring Mexican criminals to Mexican justice and Mexican courtrooms. They're up in Boston trying to blame the industry and scapegoat us.
What amazes me about that is because in some respects, they're not entirely wrong. If you go look at Fast and Furious, which you had nothing to do with.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we need to sue the ATF for their smuggling guns into Mexico. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe we'll sue the cartels. They actually run the country of Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. And that case is wild to me that even has any standing in an American courtroom.
Well, we were very disappointed, obviously, and we're looking at what our legal options are. But, you know, we profoundly disagree with the court's reasoning. I mean, the court's reasoning on proximate cause, not to get too lawyerly on you, is just really weak, we think. So we're looking at our options, which could include a petition to the Supreme Court to ask them to take the case.
Wow. Another case for SCOTUS that they probably wouldn't hear in 24.
No, I don't. Yeah, at this point, no, it wouldn't be to 25, but
after the election.
Yeah. Which is important.
Exactly. I wish you all could see Larry's face just then. It hit him. He's like, oh, boy, he just got that.
You went there. Right.
We're talking to NSSS Larry Keene. Well, and you realize, too, because one of the other things we were discussing is all of the cases that are coming up before Supreme Court, because I think they've agreed to hear, what, three this year.
Yep.
If we have more that come up after 25, I keep telling everyone, look, looking at November, this is a choice as to whether or not you want to pack the Supreme Court or not. It's a choice as to whether or not you want a more beefed up ATF. It's a choice of whether or not, you know, you want more restrictions placed on, you know, firearm manufacturers when there's so many already. And that's really what y'all are looking at. That's the reality.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's litigation, there's legislation, but the election is critically important. And it's not just about the Second Amendment, right? We believe that our country's on the wrong path. The public believes this. We are headed down the path towards socialism.
Oh, yeah.
Our liberties, our freedoms, including the Second Amendment and the future of our industry are on the ballot. And that's frankly why NSSF launched a super PAC to try to bring resources to bear in this election.
Glad
in 2024.
Let me tell everyone, it's called the Protect Liberty PAC. And this is, it's awesome because it's filling in a gap that needs to be filled, sadly.
That's correct. I mean, NSSF, you know, we have our own industry traditional PAC. We do voter education, registration, mobilization. But we realized that the resources that our friends at NRA used to bring to the fight in an election, is just not possible because of their ongoing challenges. So we needed to step up and marshal the resources so that we can make sure that we protect our freedoms and liberties. And so we launched Protect Liberty PAC. And, you know, the website is very clever, protectlibertypac.com. And you can go there to learn more. And if you're so inclined, and I hope you are, to support the Super PAC. The great thing about a Super PAC is it can take unlimited money from individuals and from corporations. Whether you give us $1, $100, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, whatever you can do, while it's unlimited, you know, there's no amount that's too small to help protect our liberties. If you care about the future of this country, if you agree that we're headed on the wrong path, we're headed down the path of socialism, you know, you think your First Amendment freedoms, your Second Amendment freedoms, your Fourth Amendment freedoms are at stake, and I will tell you they are, then you need to get engaged. You need to register to vote, and you need to come out on Election Day, and you need to help support candidates and efforts like ProtectLibertyPAC.com. If you're somebody who's, you know, not happy with the situation at NRA, for example, and won't contribute to NRA because of that, you know, you have a place to go now, protectlibertypac.com.
And that's important for a lot of people because the headlines haven't helped. And then they see all of this other stuff with the court cases and then going after, you know, for instance, advertising and firearms manufacturers, which that's a variable. It doesn't matter whether or not you support guns or firearm manufacturing or what. That's a variable that can be weaponized to go after anybody in any industry.
It's a First Amendment fight.
Yeah.
It's not even a Second Amendment
that's
fight.
That's a great point.
Right?
Yeah.
They're targeting us, pun intended, and they're targeting speech, and they want to silence us. You know, we have a feckless president who's made the world dangerous. We are staring World War III in the face. We're one miscalculation away from World War III. We're supposed to worry about the border with Ukraine and Russia, which is important, I think. While they can't even call the border our own border crisis, where 8 million illegal aliens have come across the border, including known terrorists. Mm-hmm. You know, I am so afraid that the next terrorist attack in this country could come at any moment, and it's going to be committed by somebody who walked across the border. Mm-hmm. So the world's dangerous. We have crime is out of control in our major cities. We have DAs that don't prosecute. You know, they have these, what I like to, you know,
restorative people, justice.
Well, or, you know, soft on crime. I prefer hug-a-thug policies.
Hug-a-thug. We're stealing that. It's going to stolen and it's hashtag now. Yeah.
So, you know, people have to engage. You got to register to vote. You know, don't complain if you don't engage, right?
You
forfeit your right to complain if you don't engage. You got to register to vote. You got to show up and vote, and you got to support candidates.
Yeah.
You know, there's an old saying, money is the mother's milk of politics, right?
Absolutely.
You need money to run a campaign. And so we need to support, you know, we won't be engaged in every single race because a lot of races aren't competitive one way or the other. And only a handful of races will determine who controls the Senate.
Exactly.
Right? So the next president will get to, you know, replace a Supreme Court justice or pack the court, depending. And who controls the Senate will decide. Can you imagine, you know, if let's say Clarence Thomas retired,
Don't even say it.
Right?
Not even hypothetically.
Yeah. Like, you know.
But still.
So say your prayers tonight for Clarence Thomas that he stays healthy. But, but you know, can you imagine if, you know, Merrick Garland was on the Supreme Court?
We came so close.
We wouldn't have a Bruin decision.
Yeah. We came so close.
So it matters who controls the Senate. So you have a handful of races, Arizona, Nevada, right here in Nevada, mm-hmm. Montana, Ohio, Pennsylvania. That's going to decide who controls the Senate.
And we're pretty close to losing the House, too. I mean, technically, I'm
we're very close. Yeah. I'm very worried about the House. And unfortunately, some of that is self-inflicted by the House Republicans and the infighting. But that, you know, but we need to control certainly the Senate, certainly the White House, and obviously the House as well. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, bad legislation can't pass because of the filibuster, but, you know, who knows? Next time, maybe Schumer says, well, we're going to get rid of the filibuster and ramp things down.
And then there's nothing no one can do.
No,
it's
exactly.
done. It's right. done.
So
we are navigating very, very rough waters
so
right
let's,
now.
Let's not worry about what pronouns. Let's not fight about whether men can be in women's sports. I mean, it's inconceivable to me that this is actually a debate. I mean, it sounds more like a Saturday Night Live skit. Saturday Night Live used to be funny.
It's Pat actually did that, so you're not wrong.
Yes,
it was
right.
a skit.
So,
well, we appreciate what you do. The website is protectlibertypac.com, and I suggest y'all go there and figure out how to get involved and how to help support, because we're going to need it. I mean, even if you win the White House, we're still in trouble with the House.
Any amount. Give us $17.76.
There you go.
I'll take it.
Right? There you go.
Everything helps.
Larry Keene with National Shooting Sports Foundation, NSSF, here at SHOT Show. And we appreciate it. Thank you so much for what you do on behalf of liberty and our rights.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. Thank
Good
you.
To see you.
Of course. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It is our friends, veteran owned. They employ retired and active duty veterans, and they do a lot of work with veteran and first responder causes. It's Black Rifle Coffee. I am a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club, and you can be too. You can get 30% off of your first subscription order with code Dana. The absolute best coffee you can get. I honestly can't really drink anything else. Even if I'm traveling, I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm trying to figure out how to bring a French press to a SHOT Show because I'm just... Delivered fresh to your door. You choose your brew, how often you want it, no shipping fee. And you never run out of coffee. Take your experience up to a whole new level. The AK-47 AK-47 Espresso Thin Blue Line, that's their medium roast. The Freedom Fuel Dark Roast. I love the Silencer Smooth also. Pick your delivery schedule. You're done. Again, no shipping fee. And you're going to save. It's affordable. And they have everything you need for the perfect brew, too. Grinders, mugs, everything and more. And every time you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join the Black Rifle Coffee Club today and get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Start saving money on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For Nikki Haley, because I was voting against Donald Trump.
And what propelled you to get to this point?
I want to. I'm 74 years old. I've lived in a constitutional democracy all my life. I want to remain that way, and I want my grandchildren to grow up in one.
And
not a dictatorship.
Well, there you go. We still got South Carolina. We got Nevada. We got that dual process.
Constitutional democracy?
What is that? Well, it's a democratic process in a republic, but I don't know what
a constitutional republic.
Yeah, democracy is. I don't know what that means. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here, broadcasting from Las Vegas. So let me tell you about my TSA fun experience. I have flown, golly, hundreds of times. I mean, there for a stretch of some years, I think I was on a plane every week. I've flown all over everywhere. And I've met good TSA agents and I've met bad TSA agents. And I'm not going to pay the indulgence at the church of the TSA to sit here and go, I've met some good TSA agents to complain about what happened yesterday. So, as you know, I am like Greg Fokker from Meet the Parents. I don't like checking. Actually, not Greg Fokker. I'm like the chick he married. I don't like checking a bag. I literally can pack a week, everything I need, and, you know, roll with it. A professional lady. And I don't like checking bags. I've had bags lost. I've had entire suitcases destroyed by, yeah, for real. Like, I've had it crushed in the thing before. I mean, all kinds of horrible stuff. So I just don't. I don't check bags. So I travel with my microphone, right? And a mic stand. I've flown with this thing for a decade. And every single time we fly, they think that the mic is a bomb. Of course, I will say that one time, the TSA at DFW thought that my son's plastic protractor, you know, the thing with the half, the crescent and the ruler on it, they literally took that out and were looking at it. It was like watching babies play with shapes in a shape sorter.
Wait, it was plastic?
Yeah, it was a plastic shape sorter. They took it out and they were looking at it. They were like, what? I'm like, are you flipping for real? Anyway, so I never had a problem with the mic stand. And we've always flown with it. It's never been an issue. It's always, they always swab the mic and they're like, it looks like a pipe bomb. And I'm like, yeah, we're just going to bring a pipe bomb right there like that. Jiminy Christmas. Anyway, so they stopped and they looked at the bottom of the radio mic stand. So the bottom of the radio mic stand is just the little thing that you screw, you know, a tube into, and it holds the microphone up, right? That's it. It's a stand. It's like a stand. And it was the base of the stand that they were like, well, this could be a weapon. They had no idea what it was. Again, like watching babies figure out shapes in a shape sorter. They couldn't figure out what it was. So I'm like, well, for the love. So we thought they were going to confiscate the mic. And we were telling them, that's irreplaceable. You can't do that. It is a ridiculously expensive mic. You cannot. And Kane's dad plated it. You can't. And then they're like, oh, well, they took the mic base. And there was one dude who was just, you know, I guess he was just taking orders. I don't really accept that excuse for anything. Then there was some dude who was literally on a power trip. And then a rude broad who came over. And she was like, well, that can be used as a weapon. And we're like, anything can, what? It's, how is it a weapon? Anything can be used as a weapon. She's like, I know, right? Like, oh. I'm like, listen here, B. I didn't say that, maybe, but in so many words. But I'm like, I got 4-inch stilettos in my suitcase. I could shiv you right now with my heels, broad. Like, what's up? What's good? You know, that's a weapon. But no, it's this completely no sharp edges, nothing base for a mic stand. And they were, and then they're just a little like, I can't say what I want to say because I'll totally get fined by the FCC. But I'm just projecting all these words into your head. That's what I think of them. We have a whole second hour on the way. Gun Owners of America, Eric Pratt, will be joining us later on. Stick with us. We're broadcasting live from Vegas. And we got a lot still to recap.
Hi, I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings, and therefore we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature, rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
Teach Donald Trump a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Say what? What did he just say? Do we know? Yeah, can I just, you know, I'm curious.
Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Any guesses?
Thawalman Merka? Is that what he just said?
A valuable lesson. Don't mess with the men in America unless you want to get America.
What does that even mean? Don't mess with America. Okay.
I guess you're saying the women of America?
I kind
of
want to mess with it, though. Right? I want to mess with it. When you say it like that, welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. That's President Daddy Showers McSniff's kids. And he says, don't mess with Walla Walla America. Because if you do, I hate to think about what happens if you do. You can listen coast to coast, guys. The Thwallam of America. Right? What were you going to say, Ken? You were going to hop in. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I don't know what he says after that. Like, what is he saying?
Did he ask himself, huh?
Like, I can see him saying, don't mess with the women of America. But then after that, I honestly, I don't even know what, like, listen to what he says here. Listen.
Mm-hmm. Lesson. Mm-hmm. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Unless you want to get the benefit?
Get the benefit.
Is that a threat?
What do you mean, get the benefit of what? Is there a benefit to get?
I don't.
I'm curious. Okay, so, you know, we just don't know.
Might be a futile effort.
Yeah, I can't. I just not quite sure. But, you know, there it is. So that's the president of the United States who has no clue. No clue. So, yay. We're just like in the best hands, aren't we? Just in the best hands, guys. That's where we are. So, let's see. He's going to be he's the other guy in the race. Nikki Haley. We've been recapping New Hampshire. She didn't do very, I mean, she overperformed, but she still didn't come within 10 points of Trump. So it just didn't happen. So she says she's going to stay in. Now, apparently this is a real thing because I asked the internet, Kane, as one does, right? I've asked the internet. I'm like, okay, is this a real actual, you know, press release? I said, no way is this real. And everyone's like, yeah, apparently
it is.
I think so, isn't it?
Wow.
I made mention of this in headlines last hour. So it's the let me pull this up. There's like a press release out there and it says Make America Normal Again. It just feels like that's maybe not the way that you're going to go and get. I'm just going to say it. I don't think that that's how you're going to get any kind of voters to support you. It said, make America normal again. It said, blah, blah, blah. You know why? They said they don't. She's talking about normalcy. They don't want vengeance. They want sanity, et cetera, et cetera. I think that there's a way that you could probably, if you're Nikki Haley, make your statement without going there. You know, it just seems like there's a, you know, you don't have to go that hard and because you're trying to win people over to your side. That's not going to win people over. That's not going to do it. That's not going to win people over. I mean, good heavens. So it's not going to happen. But it's the victory last night. So, I mean, Trump was scheduled. He was expected to win New Hampshire. He was leading New Hampshire. But as I said, and I'm really telling folks, y'all need to be paying attention to this because the Republican Party is going to have to address and then reconcile the exiled voters who are disaffected that contributed to split ticket losses, which is a real thing. And I've looked at the data. I always have people who are like, that's not real, Dana. Did you break down all the data from Secretary of State and all the battleground state? Because I did. And all the states that have split ticket voting, because I literally did. I spent hours of my life going over this so I could talk about this in factual based terms, not like, you know, trans terms. Make-believe fantasy, rainbow kittens, glitter. No, not that. Like real actual math. It's a real thing. If you want to win, you'll fix it. If you don't, then you'll pretend it doesn't exist. It's not America first to pretend it doesn't exist. So, you know, pick your poison. But that's the thing that they're going to have to do. They got to reconcile with those exiled voters that pulled the lever for Haley. And there is a reduced enthusiasm. Now, that could be also because the economy is horrible. It could be because a number of things. And you could say, yes, maybe it's a candidate. Maybe they don't like the economy. Maybe they think it's just done. We're too far gone. You don't know. But that's something that it is the candidate and the Republican Party's job to figure it out. It's literally why they're there. They are literally there to figure it out. It is not our job to bail anybody's ass out. It's not our job to figure it out for them. That's their job. If they want to be leaders, figure it out. Can we talk for a moment and switch gears and talk about, I have this down on my rundown. Let me pull my rundown up. I got a million things here. I don't pay attention. I used to pay attention to the Oscars. I used to pay attention to all this stuff, and I don't anymore. Because it just got all so politically stupid. And then it got woke, and then it was like handing out participation trophies to the worst movies because someone made an effort. So Ryan Gosling got nominated for an Oscar, and Margot Robbie didn't in Barbie. and everyone is mad because Greta Gerwig, who directed the movie, and Margot Robbie, there are people out there who mistake the pull or the amount made at the box office for, you know, being Oscar worthy or in contention of an Oscar. I don't think that Margot Robbie should be nominated for an Oscar for this role. It's like comparing her role in I, Tonya to the, I watched it because I wanted to know what everybody was watching. It was the, I fell asleep halfway through. It was the worst thing I've ever seen. It was an absolute turd of a film. It was, if it wasn't digital, it would have been one of the worst things ever to be burned onto celluloid. It was heinous. It was, I got so tired of the whiny broads. Oh my God. And that one Barbie was a dude. You can't tell me. That one Barbie was a dude. I'm pretty sure there's a shaved Adam's apple involved. Whatever. But it got so preachy. Ryan Gosling, it was the only reason to watch that movie. Because he had so much fun with his role. And damn, if that doesn't deserve an Oscar, I don't know what does. He had a blast with his role. And it, everything else was just, it just seemed like standard fare, right? It just, it was boring. It got so preachy and it dragged on. And oh my gosh, it could have been probably an hour shorter if, you know, I don't know. But to act like, oh, well, it made a lot of money at the box office, so it deserves an Oscar. That's not, it's like comparing her performance in I, Tonya, which she got nominated for, and that was a great performance, to this. I mean, that's the difference. You know, Oscar performances are supposed to transcend just, you know, basic everyday roles and basic everyday acting. And Ryan Gosling did it. So he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor because of, for Ken. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, there's no Ken with that Barbie, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets into it. And he said, he got mad at the Academy and they said it was a snub to Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig. Maybe he's paying the penance to the matriarchy, because that movie does not deserve an Oscar. And either for the best actress role or for direction, not at all. I mean, that's, and there's a reason why. It's so stupid. To sit, it, he is the best supporting actor. You know, it, why can't they just sit here and celebrate his role? I said, this is what I have on my rundown. I said, this is the Oscars equivalent of cucking yourself. It is, because he's out there. Why, you know, there's no cut. Oh my gosh. You know what? I'd be like, yeah, I own this role, bomb.com. I did it. He should, if someone, a friend of mine said he should show up if he wins shirtless in a fur coat like Ken did and accept it just like Ken. But that, he, like, I just think that that's the ultimate irony. He was so good. He was better than everyone. I only cared about his scenes. I didn't care about anything else. I'm like, oh, wait, I want to see what Ken does because it's hysterical. It was so funny. It was the best part of the movie. In fact, you know what? You know how you could get this movie to have an Oscar? Edit all the parts out that don't have Ken in it and just have all of Ken's parts in it and then put that out. That'll get an Oscar. You'd watch that, wouldn't you, Kane?
I might.
Just call it Ken.
I don't care for the concept of the movie, or and I wouldn't be.
He was so funny. He was so funny.
And I enjoyed those clips on Twitter and everywhere else. So I'm fine.
Gosh, it was like so. It was so insufferable. And I, as a woman, I hate having stuff shoved down, you know, like in my face. Like, oh my gosh, you're a woman, so you have to like this lady content. No, I don't. This is. Again, that's like the Democrat equivalent of selling you cup holders and then they're telling everybody else what's under the hood. I'm so done with it. But yeah, it should just be Ken. But I mean, don't cuck yourself, dude. Don't be like, you can't have Ken without Barbie. La hell, you can't. Yes, you can. Go Ken. Ken for best supporting actor. It was, dude, it really was hysterical. All the clips that you see of him, he is so good in it. And I'm not even a Ryan Gosling fan. But I just think it's so dumb to be, it's like they have to pay penance to the matriarchy. Oh, no, excuse my Portuguese here. The bitch brigade's going to get mad at me if I don't sit here and say, well, the women shouldn't. No, they shouldn't have. That movie sucked. It was horribly directed. It was horribly edited. It dragged on so long. It was worse than long COVID. It was long Barbie. It was so bad. It just kept dragging on. I literally fell asleep and I woke up and they were still whining. Shut up. Pop a mite all and chill. Gosh, talking about it annoys me. Okay, so let's move on here. We got some other things. Because we're here at SHOT Show. Last year I went to the ATF booth. They were weird. I mean, government agencies are weird anyway, but the ATF dudes were weird. There was one guy, I'll just call him Shortstack. He looked like a great value version of Paul Giamatti. And every time he said Trump's name, he would scratch the side of his face with his hand and all of his other fingers, except for the naughty one. Tall man, if you've ever played that game. This is tall man, this is tall man. Here I am, here I am. That guy, he had that guy up on the side of his face. And I'm sitting there looking at him. And I was like, do you think this is clever? And he goes, what? I don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, jeez. I'm like, at least Paul Giamatti groomed himself. I see you got crust on your mouth. I can't stand that. That's another thing. Like, I can't stand like when people have attitude and they're just dirty. I just don't like it. But he was like a great value, Paul Giamatti, and he had no idea what to say. We were talking about the pistol braces. He had no idea. Like, how do you change in 180? How do you do a 180 in 365 days? How do you do that? Especially after 12 years of holding the same position. Like, what changed? What changed? And I started talking to two of them, and then by the end, there were like eight agents standing up there. There was like some big old tall Heidi that was in the corner. I don't know. She was a big girl with blonde hair. And she was like giving major attitude in the beginning, but she didn't. But I was so nice. I mean, it's impossible not to like me, even when I'm being like totally snarky. It's really hard not to like me in person. And she ended up liking me at the end. See, I made him friends, except for Paul Giamatti. And I just made him feel bad about himself and probably question his life choices later. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, should we go there again this year? Just like troll him every year. Just like the annual trolling. They don't know what day or time, but all of a sudden the trolling comes for everyone. You know, like maybe. I remember when Kel-Tec first started working with us on radio and people got real nervous about it. And we had some people in some markets go, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe we could just like not go into the weeds. What do you want me to call them? Shooty sticks? I mean, like, what do you want me to call them? They have a new Sub-2K Gen 3. Well, it's the Gen 3, the third generation of their Sub-2K. And if you go to their website, it's the Sub-2000. But it's awesome. I mean, you know, it's like gun origami. It folds and you would have to take the optics off and all of that. Now you don't have to because it like twists and folds. It's so cool the way that they, all of the stuff that they come up with. And yes, the optics stay on. It's just the way that they do it. You can still fold it in half. It's a twist and fold. It's patent pending. It's such an awesome gun. I love my Sub-2K. I don't have the Gen 3, but I'm going to get it. And I love it. And of course, this is a Florida-based company. Everything that they do is right here in the US of A, and they are like-minded. They think like you, and they support your rights. And actually, I'm going to be at their booth as well coming up tomorrow. You can find out where that is. If you're at SHOT Show, I'll be at their booth tomorrow at after broadcast. To learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Condé Nast union members have launched a 24-hour walkout amid layoff talks. More than 400 workers at Vanity Fair, Vogue, Condé Nast, Bon Appetit, and other brands are walking out Tuesday to protest bargaining practices. They said, I learned a code. Am I supposed to care? Learn to code. Let's see. Oklahoma. This Oklahoma bill is going to ban sending any kind of provocative selfie unless you're married. No sexting out of marriage. I don't like the government determining speech for anybody, but that's nuts. No pun intended. That's actually like really. That's like why do you have to have a bill for this? And also, just don't be a sleaze, you know what I mean? Like, don't be skanky. Just, you know, remember there's always three people in your relationship. It's you and, you know, your boyfriend and girlfriend, or and Jesus. Three people in that relationship. He's in that text group with you. So would you send those things to Jesus? I don't think so. But also, we don't need the government making this kind of stuff. Why do people do this? I just don't know. Let's see here. The shock for EVs. Toyota, head of the world's number one automaker, they say electric cars will never dominate the market. And they add that politics, that will not decide the fate. Customers, not regulations or politics, that will ultimately determine the fate. It was the chairman of Tokyo, Akio Toyota, who predicts that battery electric vehicles will only ever capture 30% of the car market. And you know what? He's right. I like what he's saying here. Now, can you stop pushing this stuff on us? Look, if you want to get your EV, fine. But don't sit here and transition everything to an EV. Some of us like combustion engines. Some of us like hearing when we start our cars. Okay? Some of us like that. We like the rev. We like the smell of gas. We like oil. We love gas and oil. We like all these things. I'm not a fan of EVs, especially when the cold absolutely depletes their battery. But look, if you want them, get them. I'm not, yeah. But don't tell me it's better for the environment and we don't need to switch everything over to there. I'm so done with it. I'm so done with it all. Let's see here. Also, the SecDef made a public appearance. He didn't look so good. Lloyd Austin made a public appearance yesterday. It was his first since his secret hospitalization. He went to a virtual meeting, so it was kind of like a public thing. He was at a virtual meeting discussing Ukraine, and he didn't even look good virtually. So that's, I mean, seriously, if you can't even like fake it, you know, when you're zooming in, then that's, you know what I mean? That says something. That says something. I don't know. It just seems, yeah. North Korea fires several cruise missiles into the sea because that's the only place that their stuff will ever go because it's North Korea. We move, we got Eric Pratt from Gun Owners of America going to be joining us. We're here broadcasting live from SHOT Show in Vegas. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are broadcasting live from Las Vegas here at 2024 SHOT Show, the National Shooting Sports Foundation's big annual event. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this second hour. Listen coast to coast. Stream it on YouTube, Facebook, or whatever streaming service that you use. And of course, you can go find us on Facebook and YouTube too. We got all kinds of videos and stuff up there since we're not doing the simulcast right now. Joining me right now, sitting across from me, is my good friend Eric Pratt, who is with Gun Owners of America. He's hard working man out there trying to fight to protect our Second Amendment rights, which seems like it gets harder and harder every single year. And, you know, I was just talking with Larry Keene, Eric, a little bit earlier, the amount of legislation, not just the stuff that's, you know, federal and all of the different cases that are going before Supreme Court and then the stuff that's expected perhaps maybe in 25, but then also the state battles. And then we got the Mexico case that's up northeast. There's a lot. Do you sleep?
my family doesn't think I do. Yeah, it is a battle every single day. We are fighting in the Congress. We're fighting in the courts. We're fighting in the states. Almost sounds like a Winston Churchill speech,
doesn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an all-out assault. And so, yeah, we've geared, and of course, we're gearing up for the elections because this year, you know, we say it every 2 years, I feel like, you know, this is the most critical election. But, you know, the last couple of years have been nothing but the Biden administration circumventing Congress to just pass things
whatever, right,
and call it law, which of course is so horribly unconstitutional. You know, why even have a Congress if we can just have a dictator that, you know, can write?
I'm so glad that you mentioned that because I think of this whenever, whether it was the bump stock ban or whether it was the pistol brace, which I think is going to go the way of the bump stock ruling. But it's, you always get into this weird legal purgatory area where the ATF basically they circumvent Congress. They do Congress's job. Congress sits there twiddling. I really don't know what they're doing. And then you're supposed to abide by this edict as though it is a rule until at which point, I mean, it's just like the bump stock ban. That's gonna be overturned. So it's this, so everybody has to have their rights infringed. It's this, the formality of infringement until a court does what it's supposed to do because Congress didn't in the first place.
Yeah, it's frustrating because it's costing us and the gun rights movement, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight all this, whereas we're doubly paying for it as taxpayers because we're fighting the government on this.
Yeah, but literally funding prosecution.
Absolutely are. And so, you know, I think we're going to win on the bump stocks. I'm very optimistic on that. I think we're going to win on pistol brace ban. We're at a good point right now.
Did you ever hear from ATF as to why they changed their mind on that? What happened?
Well, it's purely political.
I mean, it was like that for what, a decade?
Right. Oh, well, with both of those things, right? So with bump stocks, it was Trump that said, I want to do this differently.
Right.
That was ill-advised. And then with the pistol brace ban, that was just Biden saying, yeah, we're just going to turn on a dime. And so all that precedent where it was legal. In fact, with pistol braces, those precede the Constitution. That's how long you know, people have been using braces on pistols. So to say that all of a sudden somehow this was the criminal's weapons of choice and this is a brand new thing, people trying to get around the NFA or something like that, I mean, that's just crazy talk.
And didn't they have the dumb exception, too, that if it was disassembled and just laying by your pistol in the safe, that was okay, or something like that? Was that, well, did that make it in the final?
That's weather? What Stephen Dettelbach said, that it was okay if it was disassembled. It's not what the regulations
said. So there's no consistency. What a surprise. So surprised.
Yeah.
So the guy who runs the ATF said something different than what the ATF actually sent out to everybody.
At best, has no idea what the rules are saying. At worst, is trying to sucker people into breaking the law.
Ooh.
And, you know, so, yeah, so that's our government serving us there. What can we say?
It is so fun. I love that. We're talking with our friend Eric Pratt, who is the Senior Vice President and Spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. Tell me about the mood, because I haven't even been on the floor yet. We just got here late last night. I haven't even been out on the floor yet. What are you hearing from members?
There's a lot of buzz and excitement. You know, certainly it's been this way the last couple of years as we're fighting this administration, but I think it just keeps crescendoing. And, you know, one of the exciting things, we're hooking up with a lot of companies that are wanting to become strategic partners with us. And that really makes an impact when we, you know, the more companies that we have with us that represent a no compromise view on the Second Amendment, when we send a letter to Congress saying we're representing all these companies, that makes an impact in Congress. I think it's also good for the grassroots gun owners. They like to see the companies that they're supporting. They like to see them on a letter, let's say, when we got Congress or the House specifically, to vote down the pistol brace ban and say, we want this revoked. Now, the Senate never took it up, but we had dozens of companies on with us agreeing to that. We even shut down the House for a week in order to force that vote. And that sent a powerful message, I think, to the courts. I mean, you notice on some of the other things, the Supreme Court is giving stays. Even though we're winning in the courts, the Supreme Court is staying those opinions. They haven't done that with the pistol brace ban. Part of the reason could be that, you know, with this, we have Congress on record, at least one chamber, saying, hey, you know, the Biden administration didn't check with us. This didn't come from here. This wasn't lawful legislation passed. I think that makes that's a great argument, and I think that's really significant.
Yeah, I think that is significant. We're talking to Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America. Dare I even bring up the mood and the fears going into November of this year and what may happen? I mean, I just keep thinking worst case scenario, we get a packed Supreme Court and we lose Senate, we lose nominations. I feel like you get a more empowered ATF. I feel like they're going to IRS the ATF, like they're going to beef them up just the way that they did the IRS. I really worry about everything, especially because you have, what, three cases this year, I think SCOTUS is supposed to hear? Three different. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's one of the reasons why this is so important. I mean, some of our favorite Supreme Court justices are getting not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we pray for their health. This is really significant and worrisome, quite frankly. We are going to produce, so as important as the presidency is, the presidential election, so is the congressional.
Yes.
And especially the Senate, because they're the ones that approve ratify all the nominations, et cetera. So we're going to produce our congressional rating, which ranks every race in the country. We're going to put that on the web.
I feel like you're more hardcore with your rating than other entities.
We don't make excuses for legislators. Some groups use their rating as a bridge, and they've actually said this, so I'm not saying anything out of school. They use their rating as a bridge to get into offices and have good relations with them. We just let the chips fall where they may. So we rate them on how they voted. If they voted great, with no errors, that's a nice way of saying they violated their constitutional
oath.
They get an A.
Yeah.
But each time they vote wrong, it's a B, C, D, or F.
Yeah.
And so we make no, we don't represent the legislators to the people. we represent the people to the legislators.
That's how it should be. I mean, I look at Texas, and you know, our Texas House, we got a guy named Dade Phelan who we had an organization give him an A+, and I'm like, he literally created a gun control committee. He literally created a gun control committee and brought in like the Everytown people and the Moms Demand, No Second Amendment people, and used them as a way to kind of like pressure other lawmakers on gun rights in Texas. And I'm like, how in the world does this guy get an A?
Well, I tell you what, you know, just as an example of holding their feet to the fire, a couple years ago when Nancy Pelosi was running the House, they tried to sneak in red flag gun confiscation into a national defense bill. We blew the whistle on that. Over 100 Republicans voted for that.
Not surprised.
We held their feet to the fire. I mean, they wailed. They said, oh, you know, GOA is lying. GOA doesn't know how things get done around here, which is kind of funny because we've been in D.C. longer than some of these congressmen have been alive, right? But when all was said and done, the truth got out, and man, were they surprised how much flack they got. And then when the primary season came, 78% of the Republican congressmen who lost in the primaries were Republicans who had voted for that red flag provision. So holding their feet to the fire, holding them accountable, that's how you get things done.
There you go. And we're happy that you're there help making that happen. Before we get rolling here, I know you guys have your booth here at NSSF. What do voters, as we get ready, we're going into an election season, general election season. What words do you have for Second Amendment supporters, people who support our rights and...
Get registered to vote, get your family registered to vote, and get to the polls. You know, I'm a dad of several kids. We have 10 children.
God love you.
When they were off at college, you know, out of state, I made sure that they had ballots sent to them so that they could vote and, you know, send it in. I mean, that, you know, that's something my parents taught me. They did that when I was in college. And so, you know, I want to show them this is a really important right that we have. You know, don't just think, oh, I'm just a college kid and, you know, my vote doesn't matter. Yeah, and so we need to really get that idea across to people. Voting really matters. Also voting with your dollars.
Yeah. And I love that you created literally an army of like two-way voters, like your own actual army.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That is so awesome. But you're right. I mean, people need to get out and vote. And you can't just like scream and yell on social media as well. And they need to support organizations, especially that are getting in there and that are trying to work and influence and push some of these cases, especially. I mean, we could sit here and talk for another hour just about some of the cases that, I mean, whether it's the Mexico case, whether it's Lakewood, whether it's the, you know, going after, you know, manufacturers with advertising, whether it's the three cases going up before, you know, SCOTUS. There's so much. You guys follow all of it.
We're fighting gun-free zones in New York and California. We're winning, so that's exciting. But, I mean, it's taking zillions of dollars to get to where we should be.
Right.
You know, and so it's kind of a war of attrition. We were talking about that earlier. We're fighting, you know, we're fighting the government, and they're, you know, taking our tax money. It's, you know, it's too bad we can't hold them accountable.
Yeah. You're paying double to protect
your
rights.
We're paying double. Yep.
That's so asinine. Eric Pratt with Gun Owners of America. God bless you. We're
Thanks,
so grateful
Dana.
For what you do. Thanks for joining me. It's been good to see you.
Likewise.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. Usually this is like sometimes this is the sanest part of anything is our Florida Man, because everything else is so nuts. All right. So first up here, I got a number of things. I'm trying to get everything. You bear with me. I've got two dudes that got arrested for street racing, but they were going 199 miles per hour on the Florida Turnpike, say cops. Deputies say they found a camera inside the car they believe was used to capture videos for their Instagram accounts. So they were speeding, going in, you know, doing their racing on the Florida Turnpike, 199 miles per hour, which is insane. And filming it, you know, which is like, you're just, you know, filming it just to give what? To give it to the, here, Mr. Police, here's evidence of our crimes. The duo was spotted Sunday. It was at 1 a.m. too. I mean, it's like right, you know, right in the intersection. They were on North Shore Golf Club Boulevard, and the affidavit says they got tons of calls about potential illegal street racing. And so they said They go, the relative speeds or power of acceleration of their motor vehicles exceeded the legal limit. I love the very, you know, legalese. Clearly it did. So they caught them like right, you know, as they were doing it too. They caught the first driver. They didn't say, and they were both 16 years old. One driver was 16, another driver 16. There was a 20-year-old that was there as well. They don't know if the second driver, though, was apprehended, but they did arrest. They did make one arrest. It's insane. A Florida man was, he's an anger management therapist who shot and killed a homeless man and stowed the body in a trunk. This is horrible. How also is he in anger management? Can somebody explain that to me? His name's Travis McBride. Apparently he... The victim he attacked this homeless man. He and the victim apparently knew each other. McBride is a therapist for people who focus on anger management. Although he was once accused by his wife of choking her, you know, but he's an anger management counselor. Okay. This guy is supposed to be 46 years old. Kane, do you see this dude? He's supposed to be 46 years old.
Are you serious?
I am totally serious. This dude looks Wilford Brimley's age. Is he alive?
A good question.
He looks like Wilford Brimley when he did the diabetes commercials. He looks that, I mean, I've never seen an older 46-year-old in my life. This guy looks like he could be my dad, and I'm in my 40s. He looks like he could be my dad. Anyway, so this dude was arrested in DeLand, Florida, after police responded to a suspicious incident because they found a body in a trunk of a car, right? And they identified this guy. A female witness told, apparently they got a call from the police got a call from a tipster. And they said that a female witness then told police when they arrived that there was a victim who lives in the woods nearby. And that, you know, this is all in the affidavit. And they interviewed the witnesses. And there was one guy who said that he saw this dude cleaning up blood because he had killed someone. I mean, this is like a true crime or true detective episode. So, yeah, this guy, I don't think you need to be going to him for your anger management, like for anything. I just, you know, just saying. Let's see. Also, yeah, I'm sorry, anger management specialist. I'm not doing this one. Not going to read that one because it's nasty. Can people stop going into the stores in certain aisles and doing romantic solo performances? Because I could just, you know. Let's see. I'm not reading that one either. It's so bad. It's so bad. Oh no. I'm not gonna. Yeah, I can't hardly read any of these. These are bad. There was a guy who broke into his ex-girlfriend's home, stole her revolver. That's not even interesting. But you shouldn't be doing it. This one guy threw a beer can at a speeder. He ended up getting in trouble. It's all on video. In Lakeland, Florida, a Florida man was arrested because he threw a beer can at a vehicle. And then he fired a rifle in the air because he was upset about drivers speeding in his neighborhood. Polk County Sheriff's arrested 35-year-old Eric Proctor. They said he discharged a firearm in public and he threw a deadly missile. He threw a beer can. What about the guys driving up and down the road, you know, super fast? So he was detained and he was charged. Goodness, third hour on the way. Stick with us.
Well, one thing I will say about the whole field of candidates that have run for president on our side, I commend them. They've been great. This has been a great contest. But I think there's some history that was made tonight. We have never had a nominee in our party that has won without winning both, without winning either Iowa or New Hampshire. Donald Trump is the first ever to win both. I'm looking at the math and the path going forward, and I don't see it for Nikki Haley. I think she's run a great campaign. But I do think there is a message that's coming out from the voters, which is very clear. We need to unite around our eventual nominee, which is going to be Donald Trump. And we need to make sure we beat Joe Biden.
Well, you know, then you need to be doing that. That's Ronna McDaniel. I mean, then you need to be doing that. I mean, the RNC gave up 6 weeks before Iowa and they said, no, we're not going to host any more debates and we're not going to do this. And, you know, all of that. And, you know, well, no. I welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this third hour. We got a lot to hit. We've been talking about all the stuff with New Hampshire, recapping all of that for you. And then, of course, you know, setting the stage as well for, South Carolina, which Nikki Haley's also going to lose. It's just not going to happen because it's just not in the cards for her. It's just not in the cards for her. And, at this point, I don't know what her goal is. Does anyone Does anyone know what her goal is? I don't know what her goal is. So if she's, you know, if she's got the donor money and the will to keep doing it, then, I mean, you know, I guess you can stay in. You know, you don't want to pay attention to what's going on with the delegate math. I mean, okay, I guess you can stay in, but it just, it's, I don't see the point of it. Unless, I mean, what, seriously, what is her point? What am I missing? Kane, am I missing something? Kane, am I crazy?
It's intentionally vague at the moment.
Maybe it's that don't mess with the wall in America that Biden said.
That's literally how it feels.
Can I hear that? Because this is what I feel like. Don't mess with the wall in America.
Donald Trump, a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
Yeah, you heard the man. Whatever that means. You heard it. That's it. Good heavens. I don't know. I also know, too, that this, there have been, and I've seen a couple of these, there's been a couple of polls that have been out there, and I one of them was one that I saw. It was, let me pull up a couple of these. There's a couple of different polling firms out there that I, you're going to see a lot of these narratives change. They had a new poll that was out. And this is Pennsylvania. It's a. I don't want to put a whole lot of stock into it just yet because the sample size is so small. The sample size was 745 people. So you know they're calling landlines. Who has landlines? What?
Hospitals.
Yeah, and like great grandparents. Right. No offense, but come on. Do you have a landline? I don't even have a landline. My kids have never seen a rotary phone.
It's been, what? Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow. It's been at least 5 years since I've had a landline.
Oh, longer than that for us. Oh, my gosh. I haven't had a landline. It's been...
Actually, it's been about 7+ years since I've had a landline. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's been like 20 since I've had a landline.
What? Seriously?
Uh-huh. The only time I've had a landline... was like if I had, internet in it before fiber.
I had a landline tied to my DSL.
Yeah, so like back in the day. Yeah. But I never, that was for your computer.
Right.
I didn't even have a phone like that with a cord, nothing. I didn't even have like a cord. I didn't have any of that. Isn't that weird? The last time that I had like a corded phone was in the 90s when... And the it was in the 90s when I was a teenager and I had a clear phone with the multicolored guts. That was literally the last time I had like a regular phone. I'm not kidding you. How weird is that? I just now realized that. Wow. That's wild. I loved that phone.
It's only weird to people my age, your age. The kids these days are like, what? Life without landlines. That's what we know.
Yeah. And my point of bringing this up is that, okay, well, that means because there's so much of these surveys they call landlines. Well, who has landlines? No offense, but it's the great grandparents out there. It's the older. Now, I'm not saying that like as a pejorative. I'm saying that if you're wanting to cast a wide net and have like a true representative sample of people who are voting, then you're not just you're immediately. And we had what is it? The guy who was talking about the AI data driven poll. You're immediately biasing your sample size because you're picking older people and they are, you know, obviously leaning to start. You're not getting younger people. You're not getting people who are, you know, more solidified in their belief set and, you know, all of that. So it's, you know, you're not getting that. So I you know, I look at the 745 that this was done between January 15th and January 21st. The margin of error is 3.7. Now, they bring it up. It says, if the election for president were being held today and candidates were Biden, the Democrat, and Trump, the Republican, for whom would you vote? Now, this is a Pennsylvania poll. So it said Biden 46, Trump 39, not sure 7.6. How are you not sure? Jiminy Christmas. The other 5.6. I was talking to somebody yesterday who was raging about the people who don't know. Like, how can you not know? What's wrong with you? You're what's wrong with it. And I'm like, yes, but you still have to persuade them. But honestly, seriously, what the hell's wrong with you? How do you not know? You not paying attention? Like, it's, you know, well, how do you not know? It's like, I get the same kind of frustration as like when you stand behind people going to Taco Bell and they're taking forever to make up their mind as to whether or not they want to get the burrito that's been on the menu for 50,000 years or the taco that's been on the menu for 50,000 years. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. So I think it shows Biden beating Trump by a plus 7 if the election were held today. And in 2020, it was decided by 1 point. Barely within the margin of error from 2020. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a surprising poll. There's a Rasmussen poll that came up as well that showed it a little bit better, and it showed a lower, it was like a 2.6 margin of error. And I don't want, and I have some of my friends who are hardcore and have always liked Trump during the primary. Like you, like we've said, you know, we voted for him twice. We just have different choices in the primary. But the reason I bring this up is because, you know, my friends who are, that was also their choice in the primary. They think that this information is brought up to undermine Trump. That's not the reason why people are bringing it up. People are bringing it up because there has been now a 3-year trend in polling showing disaffected independents and that lean Republican. And especially in these battleground states, that's incredibly significant. And the RNC has made no effort to remedy this, which means in that time, since before this campaign, they've made no effort to remedy this. So the candidate and the campaign have to. And I don't know if they're focusing on that because I see a lot of surrogates say that bringing this information up is undermining the candidate, but it's not. It's pointing out like, hi guys, have you seen this? This could be an issue. But now I'm saying it could be an outlier. I just don't necessarily, that poll that I pointed out had one of the biggest, discrepancies or biggest gaps. But I also think too, and I question why media brings things out, you know, when they bring it out, are they going to be more honest about polling right now? You know, I don't know, but I just see that there's been some issues with independents, particularly in the Virginia elections with Youngkin, and then also the Wisconsin court elections, and we've seen it in a couple of special elections. So just be careful, and don't think that everything's in the bag because it's not. Now I don't know. I think it's whether or not Biden's up in Pennsylvania. I still think it's way early to even measure something like that. I don't believe that he's up by 7 points. I just can't see that happen. That's insane to me. Biden plus 7, really? Come on.
Donald Trump, a valuable lesson. Don't mess with the women of America unless you want to get the benefit.
If you start seeing more polls like this pop up, that's your warning sign. If you start seeing more polls like this, now the reason I'm saying this is one of the newest ones post primary shakeup. I've seen warning signs like this in the Virginia elections and Wisconsin and in some of these special elections. Now that was, that's older. That's, before all the primary stuff. If you start seeing more of these, I would say if you get two other polls that are like this, I mean, the sirens better be going off in the HQ. Really, people have got to get around. They've got to get a handle on this. It's a big issue. So they're gonna have to deal with it. They're gonna have to do it. Can we get, what's the other thing that Biden did? Let me pull this up, because he made an election denying audio somebody too. I feel like this is denying the elections. Listen.
Hello, Virginia. And the real governor, Terry McAuliffe.
Now, he could have been joking, but that sounds like election denying to me. I'm just saying he could have been joking, but I don't know if I feel. I mean, do you think that he was? He says that Terry McAuliffe, as you know, was beaten by Glenn Youngkin. And I don't know. I just think it's, of course, and one of the reasons why he went to Virginia, and that's where we got this like ridiculous smorgasbord of horrible sound bites from him. He went to Virginia and he brought Kamala Harris with him and his wife. And they, you know, they wanted to be able to, you know, talk about abortion because they really were hammering that in Virginia as they did in Wisconsin. I'm telling you, that is, they think that is the way they're going to be able to divide the coalition on the right. And they may not be wrong. This is another thing, that another reason why we want to be able to make sure that we're getting this, you know, kind of like, you know, tuned in. But they're going to be hammering this. They already have their attack ad out. They already have the attack ad out ready to go. So we'll, like I said, we'll see. We'll see how this goes. We got South Carolina on the way. One thing that I would say that I would encourage the former president to do is to not go off on late night rants on his social media platform, going off on everybody. If they say the obvious things that have been said 50 million times before people have even said it, he needs to stop that. It does. It's not helpful. It's not helpful to winning anything. So just FYI. And that's not being, you know, rude. It's just, you know, those are the simple facts of it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, according to reports, apparently your smartphone changes how you walk when you have it in your hand. And you also, apparently people are using their hands differently, too. We're going to evolve and develop like four thumbs. That's what's going to happen. There was a study of college students that was published, actually, just like within the last 3 weeks. They were looking at like 2,500 students, and they found that participants, they, as you can imagine, no situational awareness at all when they got their phone out, but they changed the way that they walk, like their gait, their stride, everything, just if they use their smartphone. I find that fascinating. A woman, 33 years old, she stabbed her date 100 times to death in what they say is a weed-induced frenzy. That sentenced to 100 hours of community service. The judge says she has no control over her actions. She had a psychotic break. I can't tell you how many of our listeners who engage in certain practices or farming sent me this story, and I'm like, I don't know. I just think she's a murderer. Put her in jail. But they said that, I don't know. There's like a big discussion, I guess, to have there. But they said that the victim's family cried when, this is horrible. It's a horrible story. 33 years old. I mean, this is like crazy. Let's see. Also, in addition to this, we were discussing this yesterday. As you can imagine, Hamas, which, I mean, it's in their, it's literally in their charter. They've rejected Israeli 2-month ceasefire offer. So all the people out there who've been screaming about ceasefire, maybe you can ask Hamas why they have consistently said no ceasefire. And they don't want a two-state solution. And so they announced that this was like 2 days ago, the leader of Hamas went out and made that statement. And so they rejected Israel's offer. They said, look, we'll have a 2-month ceasefire. Just give us all the hostages. They said no. So where's the ceasefire now crowd? Where are all the protesters and everything now? Because I mean, are they out in the street asking this of Hamas? I'm very, very curious. We haven't seen. Let's see. We talked about SecDef making his public appearance. RFK Jr. says he's qualified to be on the ballot in New Hampshire. This was after, of course, Biden won it without even being on the ballot. And then they had that Brian Phillips guy who was on, who I think, what, did he even get 0.5%? I'm not even sure. In addition to that, Joe Biden apparently spent, even though he wasn't on the ballot, apparently he spent $1.6 million just to make sure that it wasn't a loss, because that would have been really reminiscent of 2020 when he was on a losing streak rolling into South Carolina and James Clyburn ended up having to save him. So, yeah. And the results out of New Hampshire, as we've been recapping, everything's been accounted for. And the Biden win, by the way, was a write-in win. He gets 10 delegates out of that. So that's the latest in your headlines. All right. So coming up, because we're broadcasting here in Las Vegas with the NSSF for SHOT Show, as we do every year, and we're going to dive into some, like, imagine like gun and culture. It's a perfect marriage of it. Our good friend Taryn Butler with Taryn Tactical is going to be joining us, and we're going to get into a whole bunch of stuff. Don't miss, stick around, back in just a moment.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour, and we are broadcasting live from SHOT Show in beautiful Las Vegas. Joining me now is, I think, the most famous person in the Second Amendment community. He is like, I was looking at all the, I was trying to think, okay, how am I going to introduce him in 30 seconds? Because you have so many like championship titles. You're like a grandmaster shooter. I mean, you're like, are you like the best living shooter? I think you are. You're like one of the best in the world. Taryn Butler.
I've done a lot of good stuff in shooting.
So. Taryn Tactical Innovations. And you guys might know him too as like the godfather of gun fu. He did all the gun work for all the John Wick films and a ton of other things. And he's got a really cool new gun out we're going to talk about. But Taryn Tactical Innovations, you can find them online at Taryn Tactical on Instagram. But Taryn Butler, so good to see you in person.
Thank you,
Dana. And I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Of course.
It's awesome.
Of course. I want to start. First thing I want to ask you about. So the Gundy Awards. People don't know. NSSF, they have the Gundy Awards, which is like all of the firearm influencers. Yeah. You know, it's basically like gun awards. And you received an award and you went up and you know, you thanked everybody and you made this like great speech. And then you go, and I'm just one little beef. Yeah. And you said something that I thought was incredibly important and incredibly timely, especially as like you're trying to, we're all trying to persuade more people to kind of like see what we love and what it is that all of us do in different aspects. And you said, you know, people got to stop, you know, fighting with each other and quit criticizing each other. And ultimately, you know, people need to give a little grace. Talk to me about that, because I love what you said at the Gundies.
Yeah. I mean, this is the community I'm in, the gun industry, the gun world, but it sometimes eats its own a lot for no reason. I think there's a lot of egos of people that maybe they're really great at this, but they see someone killing it or something, and they want to attack them and go after them for it. And I think it's unnecessary. We're all in the same world. If someone's great at hunting or fishing or skeet shooting, I don't need to like put them down because I can't do what they do. Or I do competition shooting, I'm grandmaster shooter, all that fun stuff. You know, you're not going to hate on me. And it's just, there's so many different facets of trolling going on with some of these people. And it felt like saying something, because we're all there. These are the biggest influencers in the industry all in one. It's like the Academy Awards of the gun world. Mm. It's been around about 5 years. And I could have just been, oh, thank you for the award. And I just wanted to just bring it up. I don't care. What do I do what I want. So I just said what I said. This guy's got to stop. You know, it's just beyond annoying. Like, if you have no life, whatever, go troll some real people out there wrecking this country. Go after them. Stop hurting people that are trying to show guns in a good light, do their thing, have fun. Maybe they're not a great shooter, but they're very likable, or they're good looking, or whatever they're doing, or they're dapper, all these fun categories. You don't got to attack them, because it's not your world. Maybe learn a little bit of what they do and cross-pollinate some of this stuff and not be hating them because it's not what you know how to do.
Right. I think that's a really good point, because there are so many aspects. And I like how you said, you're like, you know, if you don't like the way I draw, which I can't imagine anyone, you were being facetious about it, but I can't imagine anybody would criticize you for that. But it is like, you'll see somebody like, why do you have that optic? Or why do you, oh, I can't believe that you did your build. I mean, like goofy little things that people pick up on. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's frustrating. You were telling me a story that I thought this was great. It involves Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
And because he had said, and this was, I think I was after Parkland, he had said something about, you know, a fire. He'd said something about Air 15s. And yeah. It didn't go over well, obviously. I think we actually talked about it on air at the time. It didn't really go over too great with, yeah, you know, Second Amendment supporters. But here, these years later, something's changed. Tell everybody the story.
So when I got involved in the John Wick franchise, there's different people involved. There's J.J. Perry, was one of the guys behind the scenes on John Wick 1 and 2, helping all the choreo, getting killed in every other scene. He's an amazing, he was an incredible fighter. All of them were fighters, all the directors, the three directors, two directors. There's Chad Stahelski and David Leitch. David Leitch, the stuntman for Brad Pitt for years, all the big movies. And Chad Stahelski was Keanu's stuntman, and there's J.J. Perry. They're all buds from the like 80s, 90s on, and they ended up being crazy fighters to stuntmen to second unit directors. And so J.J. has now did his first movie, which is Day Shift with Jamie Foxx, built a custom That's gun great. Called the Snake Eyes, fun stuff. And when actors come to me, I don't like, you know, to vet them on what they do. Obviously, if you're in Hollywood, a big majority is whatever, their political views or whatever. I don't judge them on that. I judge them on who they are as a person. And so Dave Bautista was doing a movie with J.J. Perry, an action movie coming up called Killer's Game, whatever. So building a cool custom gun, whatever, all the fun stuff. Dave comes out. I followed him in UFC, WWE, and he did the UFC for a minute. Yeah. But I loved him in WWE. It was fun. He was a monster, you know, the animal and stuff. And so he's coming out, and he's a super genuine guy, nice, his girlfriend, wonderful time training him. He's learning doing concealed carry stuff, first time in a movie we've been doing that. He did that really good. got him ready for the movie, you know, a day or two, and that's it. And then he collabed me on a post. I was in Mexico with Tatiana having a little vacation. I'm like, what the heck? This big celebrity just collabed me. It's like, it doesn't happen, right? Most of them don't even have their own accounts, whatever. I'm like, all right, I pressed the collab button, right? Everybody's like, oh my God, Dave Bautista, I love Guardians of the Galaxy. Oh my God, he's so cool. All of a sudden, like, he's an asshole. He's getting AR-15 away. I'm like, oh shit, I didn't read his tweet in 20 Well, when you're collab, you can't really control the post or whatever. He's got like 4,000 comments, and 90% are very good. You know, they like him in all. He's in Dune, and I talked to him recently. He came out again for something else, and the guy's sharp. You know, he talks about in Hollywood, like, he could have easily gone down the road of just big brute guy from WWE to just some idiot red box trash action junk. But Stone Cold Steve Austin, who I met at the SHOT Show here almost 20 years ago, I just walked up to him, I go, big fan. He's like, all right, Taryn, I'll be your friend. Come on, shoot. Come on. Stone Cold Steve Austin. So Stone Cold got a chance to be a movie star, and he did a movie called Condemned, whatever.
Yeah.
But he got pulled down that road of the red box, the action junk, collab with stupid Steven Seagal and all this trash. And so he told Dave Bautista, Dave told me this 3 days ago, came out to do another promo. And he goes, I said, you know, just so you know, like Stone Cold's been shooting here for like 20 years. He's like, yeah, he gave me advice. He says, hold on as hard as you can and do not do just the big, brute, dumb action movies. So he didn't work for 3 years after getting out of WWE and wanted to do nothing but just more of a serious movie, a real movie, not just, I'm a big goon, fighting a bar, you know. And he held on, and now he's A-list, you know, from Bond movies to Dune to Guardians to all these major movies, and it was hard for him to do that. He's a sharp guy. He's a likable guy. And right. He's liking shooting. He's getting more into it. So people, you know, you can't just judge everybody for, like, years ago stuff they said or whatever. And I'm not going to have someone come there and be like, get the hell off my ranch, some bitch. Like, I hated coffee forever, right?
Right.
And then recently, like, my girlfriend's like, well, try a vanilla latte, you know? If I go to some coffee shop, Starbucks, hey, I want to have a coffee. I heard you don't like coffee. Here's a black coffee in the face. You want a grande? Like, you know, accept me in. And, you know, so I'm just showing people, like, come to my place.
Right.
I'm showing them our world, and it's different for them because we're showing them training, and they're always up for doing fight training. We're showing them in a different light, and a lot of them fall into it, and they love it, and they get guns. They have stuff for the house, and a lot of these major people, these celebrities, are getting their houses bum-rushed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So helping them get it set up with the right box for the house, and even Keanu, the combat master, I built them for John Wick 2. The original 34 is gone. 8 guys busted in and took his gun.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
Yeah.
They busted into John Wick's house.
Yeah.
We're talking to Taryn Butler with Taryn Tactical Innovations. The you made a really good point. We were talking off air before we rejoined the broadcast, and that, you know, if you, and a lot of people, they might be, you know, pretty like-minded about firearms and, you know, guns and shooting, yeah, and Second Amendment, but they got to be really careful about how they come out, because the moment you even look like you're agreeing with somebody on something, on one thing, yeah, you're demoted and you're not getting any work,
yeah,
anymore.
You end up getting Kevin Sorbo or Dean Cained out and all that kind of stuff, you know. And also, like, look, movies are the biggest thing out there. For the gun community, we love movies, love action movies, right?
Yeah.
So why would I ruin the chance to make someone look great with a gun, who's a major star, who's a badass beast monster, with a sick, crazy copperhead custom gun or something cool, and ruin that opportunity? Because right, the rest of the world's not sitting around being all political. They want to go to the theaters and see, oh my God, that gun's cool.
They want escapism.
Yeah.
But they want it to be realistic. And this is, yeah, why I love how you got involved in this, because you told me the story when you were on air, but I read an interview where you were going off on, I guess it was Walking Dead, and you were like, my gosh, somebody help him out. Yeah. He's struggling so hard to reload.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just really wanted to make things look more realistic.
Yeah.
I feel like now I can watch something and I can go, I think Taryn did this, or no, he totally didn't do this. Yeah. We watched somebody the other day with a 12-gauge shotgun, and they were acting like they never had to reload, and it was like full auto, and it, yeah, was the most unrealistic thing I've ever, yeah, seen in my life.
Yeah.
But I mean, how much do you? Because I feel like you work on so much. We only get like a little bit to see a little bit of it on Instagram.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're doing a lot nowadays, not just John Wick, but you're doing, did you do Bullet Train? What all have you not done?
There's so many movies that come through. I usually get to post something about it and talk about it. So I just, you know, do it the best I can. But on another note, which is crazy, everybody thinks I'm just about Hollywood all the time, right?
Yeah.
But you know the two, you know the two Navy SEALs that fell off the boat. One went to get the other one. They shoot at my place. One of the chambers shoots at my place. So I want to do a GoFundMe for his family. So I have
That's amazing.
I have a really great picture with them. They'd come out with my friend, Director Gregory, and he'd bring out Navy SEALs. We do train Navy SEALs. We train Vegas PD is the best shooters. Those guys, they come out. They're so good. Holy crap. They are really good. It's amazing. But I want to do something for the Chambers family. I'm going to do a GoFundMe later and share their GoFundMe on their page and see what I can do to help with them.
Yeah, but we'd love to.
So we
like,
do train Navy SEALs
with
other people too. So just I was shocked to see that he was at my place and he was one of our guys. So,
yeah, that's so cool. We're talking with Taryn Butler, Taryn Tactical Innovation. I wanted to ask you about the TTI Combat because you've done something with Canik. Now this you just announced this yesterday, didn't
you? Yeah.
Tell me about this because this is another it's very cool and just announced. I just saw it yesterday too. So fill us in.
So I do collabs now and then. I did one with Genesis. That's how we won. You know, that's a long story. Way back on John Wick 3, Eric Kinsel of Bravo Company is like, you got to work with these guys. And I had won the Three Gun Nationals with a MagFed AK shotgun. So I'm the first ever to win Three Gun National Triple Crown with a MagFed shotgun, yada, yada. But the gun never worked. I won just because I was so far ahead. I just could absorb the penalties and the time of the jams, 20-second jams. It's on YouTube. It's stupid, right? So then everyone in AR platform, because the AK platform sucks. I don't give a shit. It's horrible, right? You know? I mean, I don't care, go make it all cool. Okay, I got a BlackBerry. I put a new attachment to it, and I got 3G now. It's a BlackBerry. AR will smoke its ass all day long. So finally, an AR. There's been all kind of turd AR, you know, 12 gauge platforms that don't work. So the Genesis came along, but it needed a lot of work. So I put a lot of time. 3 years into it, it was good. It wasn't in John Wick 3. It would never worked. So we put a Benelli quad loading. What is he doing? It's crazy. So by the time John Wick 4 came along, it was completely perfected. So that's the whole Dragon's Breath scene with the Pit Viper blowing everybody to crap and reloading after every 10 rounds, not 5,000 rounds out of reloading, all that crazy crap.
And you see it. It's not something that happens off camera either, which was so smart.
Yeah, it's a one shot, a top shot, the whole take, one take. I mean, 60 guys.
That was one of the most amazing things ever.
Yeah. So we did the collab, though. That was a collab. And then... So Nils Jonasson, who shot with me for years, I sponsored him for years, one of the best shooters ever walked the earth. He's shooting Canik. He won a division at Nationals that no one's ever won before, the 9mm against 40 cals, long story, with a plastic, you know, like a striker fire gun versus 2011s to dominate the world. Like, you know what? This gun has obviously got something good about it. So over about a two-year period, I make things just better, like a lot better. So it's like a Callaway Corvette conversion, but even better. So we made the gun, redesigned from the ground up, a whole new frame, everything about it, because the guns are accurate AF. Did it all up, did it, and it's a gun that people can get, because we're like Rolex. Every time Tatiana go to get a Rolex, like, yeah, 5 years for the Daytona. I'm like, ugh. Like, I'll dive in. The world will be over. I care. So anyway, everybody wants Pit Viper sample. And we're ramping up, but you can never really get them enough. Because it's like, you know, it's like a dinner at Mastro's. You can't have them nonstop like a, you know, whatever. So we're able to make these guns a lot, get them out there, you know, and they're under $1,000. They're $950.
They're accessible and affordable.
Yeah, accessible and affordable. We never really had that before, you know, so.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Yeah. It's beautiful. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Congrats on everything. Congrats, and thank you also for just like helping to mainstream 2A and shooting and firearms and making it like normal.
I got a totally silly side note story.
Okay.
So a friend of mine.
We got about 60 seconds.
All right, invited us to the premiere of The Flash, and we're out front, and Ezra Miller walks up, and he's like, he has long hair, and he's really tall. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah.
He's like, I know you. I saw you on the Dana Lash show. I'm like, what the heck is The Flash watching the Dana Lash?
I know.
I was like, sure. Cool. I was like, what? It was crazy.
Yeah, you're showing us the video of that. That's a crazy story. I don't know what to make of that, but all right.
That's how popular you
are. Yeah, I know. Well, and you, because he's probably watching you on my show. Taryn Butler, so good to see you. I'm so glad that we got to meet in person. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And just, you know, God bless. This is awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We are here broadcasting from Las Vegas, NSSF SHOT Show, and we got a lot of stuff coming up for you this week. And of course, you can also go and find the interviews that we've done today, the discussions, clips, all of that stuff. You can go find them on YouTube, find them on Facebook. I'm going to have some stuff up coming up on Instagram as well. For those folks who are here or are coming to SHOT Show as well, I got a couple of things I'm doing after the broadcast today. In fact, I'm going to be at Ohio Ordnance Works, their booth, 7405. They have a really awesome, it's a 50 cal. It's called a, I think it's for military right now, but you can literally pack it up in a backpack, like Dora the Explorer. Backpack. It's a 50 cal. I mean, they call it the Reaper. It's so really cool. So I got that coming up. And that's also in conjunction with Patch Ops, and they are giving away for the first 50 people. They're going to give away the official Dana Lash Patch Ops patch. Now, if you follow me on social, I put it up on Facebook and Instagram. It's literally the patch that's on like the gear bag that TSA was trying to nab. And I bet they were like, there's a gun on that. I bet she's a terrorist. I just wondered, like, why do people think the way they do? So anyway, so I've got those two. I've got that coming up today. I also am going to be at Patriot Mobile, 3:30. I'm going to be hanging out with Patriot Mobile as well here at SHOT Show. All right. Today in stupidity. Mr. Kane.
Holy cow. Well, it's going to be Biden. It's either KJP or Biden over the past couple of weeks that people have been paying attention. But this is Biden. I think he meant to say Tesla, but he called him Tulsa, in Oklahoma.
No.
Listen.
Because of you, Toyota, Volkswagen, Nissan, Tulsa, all gave their work.
Tulsa?
Tulsa.
You know what, though? Isn't that like the first time that he's mentioned them? Because hasn't he always left Tesla out of everything?
I guess the name. He's talked about Musk before.
Yeah.
Right,
he's never said Tesla.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if that was. I think he may have done that on purpose because he is a petty old. He is petty. Yeah.
He may
and as you say, old people aren't innocent.
Tesla,
you know?
Oklahoma.
That's, you know, he missed that. You notice how he didn't correct me on that? Because he missed it. Went running right, just totally didn't even catch it. All right, make sure you go follow us on social media. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, and have a wonderful night. I will be back with you tomorrow.